Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 7th of April, and I am recording at 9:25 p.m., and that's British Summer Time here in London. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, I'm going to talk a little bit about this week, or mainly about today, because sit down if you don't already know this, but it was a little bit of a perfect storm today, a little bit. I'll start by explaining how that actually started, and you would not be surprised to hear that it was in the Asia-Pacific region. Well, what China has apparently done, and I've looked at the articles that have been produced on this, and I'm reproducing the best one that I've seen, which came from the Wall Street Journal, Asian Wall Street Journal. But at any rate, China just wants to curb overheating in some of its mainland indices primarily. And so they're discouraging the use of margin. They are also particularly concerned about small shareholders who are dealing in over-the-counter issues. You know what some of those mainland indices, such as the China A-shares, which I post quite regularly, that's just had a huge move to the upside. And the Shenzhen Composite, a smaller index, but has had an even bigger move to the upside. So I think they're just being responsible here and not... They're certainly not trying to kill it stone dead, because it's not a serious problem, but they are taking a little bit of preventative action in here. But what happened is that came out after the close, and in China, and that led to a sharp reaction in the futures contracts for the various indices. I can give you an idea of what's actually taken place. And it swept right across the boards, and Western investors were, of course, mainly playing the Hong Kong Hang Seng futures contracts. But if I take the Hong Kong Hang Seng Enterprise Index, that's the H shares, where I do have a number of spread bet positions, that fell from a high here earlier today, before the close. The high was at 14,561. Then following the CSRC, sorry, that's the let me get it right here. That's the China. let me just get that right. What the heck is the name of that thing? That's the China Securities. I got it. China Securities Regulatory Commission. I hate acronyms. There are so many of them, but it is, again, to repeat that, the China Securities Regulatory Commission. Okay, so they came out with these announcements, and that Hong Kong H-share index went from 14,561 to a low. Because the futures, that futures contract trades pretty well around the clock, except over the weekend, it fell to a low of 13,856. Now, it was apparently a reasonably steep decline, but not totally untoward, given what those indices have been doing over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Also evidence that it was an orderly decline. I had a third of my position, the most expensive third, which I picked up on the ninth. I had a in the money stop at 14,200, which was triggered. Now, if it had been a really disorderly market, it could have so easily run through that stop, or I would have gotten stopped out at a somewhat lower price, but I didn't. And I then I when I read about read all the articles, I bought it back. I bought it back at 14,039, and I think we'll have a nervous day on Monday, no doubt, and we'll see. But again, those China, or sorry, I should say those Hong Kong indices, and that's the Hang Seng Index and the China Enterprise H Shares Index. I mean, we're talking about, if, on average between the two, we're talking about, 10 times earnings and a yield of 3% or so. So this is a good value here in today's markets, and I think also that they're selling at close to 30% below the shares that are listed in both the mainland and on those Hong Kong indices. Okay, other factors that took place. I mean, Grexit nerves did weigh on Europe here today, and there were some big hits of over 2%. Germany was down over 2.5%. Here, the Euro Stoxx 50 index was down just over 2%. So, big hits overall. The UK, which is less under the Grexit influence, but down 0.9%. So, nervous, and Wall Street. Wall Street certainly got clipped, with the Dow down just over 1.5%, the S&P 500 just 1.13%, and 1.5% for the Nasdaq Composite. Wall Street clawed back a bit of that loss towards the close. And some of the indices that have been weak recently, such as transports and utilities, well, they just had small moves to the downside relative to the indices, which I mentioned just a moment ago, which were coming off their highs, or very close. They were very close to their highs. So nervous conditions. I would expect to see a little bit of that on Monday, when, incidentally, Owen will be back from China. But David will be at the Markets Now seminar, and greatly looking forward to seeing a number of you there. Okay, so let's get on to what else is going to happen in here, and what's the overall outlook? Well, we'll get market reactions aplenty here, particularly where markets are a bit expensive. And a number of them are. When we get reactions, and at this stage, I would expect to see plenty of bearish comments over the weekend and interviews and so on. But if you had a look at the VIX index here today, I think it was up just a tiny. I know it was up just a tiny bit today, and it's still down very close to the bottom of its range. So, if this were some great sort of swoon in the making, well, it's not being reflected. It's not certainly not being reflected by VIX or anything else that I can see so far. I don't want to be complacent about it, and I've said that this would be a more volatile year, and it wouldn't be surprising if we saw Wall Street get a 10% correction in here somewhere. I don't think that's imminent, but could be wrong. But we will see. Why am I a little bit more relaxed about it? Well, the VIX would be one reason that I just mentioned. Also, I think that the key factor here overall, unquestionably, remains monetary policy. Now, that's certainly not tight, although people are wobbling over the fact that in the US that they're going to try to get a couple of interest rate hikes in probably before the end of the year. There's nothing wrong with that. They'll still be extremely low. And the EU will be continuing with its monetary policy overall, and so will with its QE, and so will Japan. So really, liquidity is the key factor in here, and we know that's good for shares. And therefore, people will worry about all sorts of things as they often do here. But the only thing I think to be really to be prudent about is that one doesn't want to be over leveraged, and particularly in extremely high valuation shares, because we know that there are some sectors. Biotech is a classic example. I think it's a fascinating sector for the long term, and that's reflected in the prices. But you've got some pretty high multiples there. This is it's always going to be an interesting year, and I'm just going to give you a little rundown, as I have done on some of these other Fridays, on percentages, because the Dow, with a little bit of a late pairing of the losses here today, just managed to close by 0.02 of a percentage point on the plus side for the year to date. And the S&P 500 is up just over 1% year to date. And the NASDAQ composite is the star performer, up 4.13%. Well, the commodity indices aren't doing much better. I'll just give you an example. Canada, that's down 2/10 of a percentage point. Mexico is up 0.5%. Brazil's down 6%. So they're much weaker. But what about Europe? And I'm looking at these all in everything I quote is in US dollar terms. Everything. So the Euro Stoxx 50 got belted today, but it's up 4.31% on the year to date. The FTSE UK index is up 2.29%, so outperforming Wall Street. So's France, up over 7.5%. Germany, big sell-off here today, but it's still up 6.5% on the year. The Italian index up 8.25%. Netherlands up over 4%. Sweden, one of the weaker ones, but it's still up over 2%, and Switzerland, 5.5%. Then we get into Asia. The Nikkei 225 index, again all in dollars, up 13.5%. The Hong Kong Hang Seng index, this will get shaved on Monday, but it's currently up over 17%. The Shanghai Composite is up nearly 33%. The Shenzhen Composite is up over 51%. That's the one that might get clipped a little more. China Enterprise Index, which I was talking about at the beginning, up by 21.3% on the year. South Korea up 12.89%. India, which this is a, I've described it as sort of a year of consolidation, but the Sensex index up 4.6%. And I could go on, but they're all virtually all of these are outperforming the US. So why is that, the US? Well, I think we know the answers, but I'll repeat them here very, very, very quickly. First, the US is a little bit pricey. relative to most other indices. And what we also know, which is more important than that evaluation, because it's not all that high. We're talking about S&P. I haven't got it right under my nose, but I don't think it's over 20 on the PE, and the yield's close to 2. So, what are the other factors here? The big one is the strength of the U.S. dollar, and just from last June, that had gone up very sharply, over 25%, and that certainly caused some problems. And then the oil pullback, that's obviously hitting the shale oil sector, which had been really the most vibrant part of the U.S. economy up until that big price fall here overall. So I'm not a bear of the U.S. economy or of the U.S. market, but it's underperforming in here for those reasons. Worth pointing that out, because we get mostly people from North America coming on and saying, "Oh, we're so strong and we're absolutely terrific." Well, they're obviously not playing the international markets the way we are. Okay. Enough said on that point. Again, bottom line, very accommodative monetary policies. It isn't going to last forever. And people can see on the horizon, and not all that distant a horizon, they can see a little bit of upward move by U.S. interest rates. That's something that they'll worry about more beforehand than when it actually occurs and after it. So we get that out of the way first, but it's certainly not going to be any kind of major tightening. I think that it's st shares are still a that's still the place to be. Now, what about these government bond markets? The low inflation figures that have been the low reported inflation figures, at any rate, have been a big factor. I'm just going to put up the U.S. 10-year, if I can chew gum and talk at the same time. And the expression "walk and chew gum at the same time." I said that about Gerald Ford, didn't they? Yes, U.S. 10-year 1.8644. So it's down in here today. We know how low all of these government bond markets are, but from again, it depends whose perspective it is. It doesn't 1.8644 does not appeal to me. We can get plenty of yields of 3, 4, 5% in good global autonomies. Now, however, for European investors who've been also influenced by the strength of the dollar to date, that looks very attractive, because those German bunds are considerably lower, close to the break-even point on to what it's up, what is a third of a percentage point. So those U.S. bonds are looking attractive for Japanese investors and for European investors. But I'd be careful here. This could go on. This could be the case a year from now. And longer. I just don't know. Nobody knows here, obviously. But one of the little factors here that worried Wall Street, in addition to what happened in China and also Europe, is that there was a report saying that, well, the embers of U.S. inflation were still glowing. They didn't use that. Those are my words. This tongue-in-cheek comment, but we're not going to get across the boards negative deflation That's just not happening. The U.S. economy is in an erratic recovery overall. Europe is doing better, and if we get Grexit, I don't think that will do any long-term harm to Europe. It'll be a nagging problem out of the way. It'll be a big problem for Greece, which would be unfortunate. But the point is. The point I'm trying to make here is that the global economy is more likely to be recovering over the next few years, recovering a little more over the next few years than tanking over the next few years, not least because of all this monetary policy. Inflation pressures are low. You know all the background reasons here. And people mention deflation, but a great deal of that is positive deflation due to technology. And I don't think we're going to have a deflationary crisis in an era of accelerating technological innovation. That's just not going to be not going to be the case in my opinion. So, what's that actually mean? It means that stock markets are the best place to be in overall until we get overheating of the global economy, and obviously we're not going to hold our breath over that. but bond markets, are most likely to be in some sort of lengthy base building phase here. And I think I just repeat, I've said to investors who've been in there, you've done exceedingly well. Just don't be complacent here, because at some stage down the road, and I don't know whether it's this year, probably not. Next year, 2 or 3 days, 2, 3, 4 down years down the road, when those yields start to move up and the crowd begins to sense that growth in the global economy is sufficiently strong, and that these bonds are all at risk, that move upwards in yields will be quite sharp. And if people are holding bond funds, they're going to be losing a lot of money for quite some time. So you will hope to avoid that profit erosion, and I would be wary of these bond markets. So people say go get high yielding bonds where you can, but then we're going into the lower quality bonds overall. There may well be liquidity problems there. I just think I just would be very cautious about that. Excuse me. Just gonna have a little sip of water here. Okay. Now, what about these currencies? Well, this fascinating situation with the dollar index, which is sitting at 97.439 here today, so it's pretty much unchanged, up at just a tiny fraction today. But you know, we had that high. I think it was at 100, yeah, 100. I think just above that 100 level, we had that high, 100.038, I think. But any rate, it was got close to a test early this week. And then fell back again. I have said that I thought the Fed was intervening. It would make sense for the Fed to intervene. Obviously, they're not going to announce that they're intervening. That would be foolish and controversial. Everybody'd be commenting on that. The Fed doesn't need everybody second guessing them on that. But they want that dollar lower because it's slowing the U.S. economic recovery, as I mentioned almost daily in these audios. And also, they want to get in a couple of quarter point interest rate hikes. And they want to get those out of the way before the U.S. election cycle is in full swing. Now, So they want to see the U.S. economy pick up, but if they want to help that cause, they get the dollar down a little bit lower. That's what I think is underway, if I'm wrong on that. And if for any reason the dollar were to take off again and blast through that 100 level on the dollar index, and extend the advance, then that would trigger a certainly a bigger setback on Wall Street, and it would cause problems elsewhere. So, you know, we don't want the world's main reserve currency getting too strong for too long in here. Now, taking a long-term view, I would expect to see a lengthy consolidation of the significant initial upward leg that we've seen, and that could consolidate through easily through the rest of this year and into next year and possibly longer, before the dollar then resumes a further climb. And why would the dollar resume a further climb? And I think its natural advantages, well, not natural, but its advantages that it has of being the leader in so many of the accelerating technology categories. And that's a major beneficiary for the U.S. economy. And also, the U.S. energy position is extremely strong. If oil prices move up as a lot of people are forecasting to the 70, 80, $90 region, I think that'd be hard going at a higher level. But you know, we know markets can be volatile, but if that does happen, if we did get a move to the upside of that manner, then the U.S. can turn on the taps, produce its own energy. So that's why I think that we will see, on a long-term basis, the dollar moving up in gradual stages. But as I say, we've almost certainly, in my opinion, completed the first initial very strong phase, and lengthy consolidation is best outcome. Okay. Just a few of these other currencies in here today. Euro 108.09. That's steady-ish despite the Grexit fears. That's probably, you get Greece out of the euro, and the euro will be stronger. what we also see, sterling, that's, well, they're all not much changed from yesterday, but sterling 1.49660 here. Okay. Let's see. In other developments, well, just on currencies that I mentioned, the obvious point here is that the primarily resources producing economies, they will see some, now that the dollar is not racing ahead anymore, they've steadied somewhat, but upside in those currencies is going to be strictly limited, and often caused by short covering, but it'll just be strictly limited because the resources that they are selling are mostly low priced, crude oil being a classic example, of course. Okay, let's look at the commodities here. Precious metals a little firmer, helped by that somewhat softer dollar that we saw yesterday. Palladium 786, and that's up over $6. And silver is the one that's not performing in here right now. It's only down 5 cents here today, but it's at $16.23. platinum, $13 higher at 1,172. Gold bullion back above the 1200, 1204. I think that the dollar will be the most important influence on these prices that we will see over the next few months. I don't expect a big move in either direction. Always dangerous to say that about markets. My own view is that these are reasonable value, these precious metals at these levels, but people aren't that interested. And I think you can give them a miss. You don't need them. You don't need the inflation hedge. They don't have any yield at this stage. There are the perennial gold bulls, and I feel genuine sympathy for them, but they're on the wrong side of the market much of the time. You can get years and years of underperformance here, and then you get a few years of a brilliant move, and then that's it. It's time to be out, staying away. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them just sort of range around. If the dollar rallies further, they're going to be under pressure. But chances are the dollar won't rally all that much, which would be conducive to basing activity by the precious metals. But then again, the commodity sector is pretty much out of favor. If you do deal in these and want to deal in these precious metals, just as a additional component in your overall portfolio, the key thing is don't pay up for them. Pick them up on the setbacks. Buy them lightly on the setbacks, and trade them out when you see a sharpish rally. I think that would be profitable, but I certainly wouldn't be loading up in here, and I certainly wouldn't be paying up for them, is the point I'm trying to make. Now go from there on to the industrial metals. Also will be influenced somewhat by the dollar. Problem here is too much supply. Partly a big reason is that China's consuming less of them. But also, you've got that big supply because these miners, at least the world-class miners, are benefiting enormously from the technology, which is enabling them to mine much, much more efficiently. So their costs have gone down, which is a jolly good thing because the prices of these metals have certainly gone down. And we are not, we have yet to see any kind of really decisive move to the upside, although I do think that we will get one over the perhaps lengthy medium term. I think they're very much at the lower side of the range, and probably. If not actually in early stages of base development, are not far off being in that base development stage. But I am reassured about global stock markets because we have not yet seen a move by this sector to the upside. Every bull market that I've lived through, and it's going back into the 1960s as an adult, in the late stages of the bull market, that's when the global economy is doing quite well. We see a sharp catch-up move by these industrial metals. I've mentioned that a number of times, and that's another key factor here that the bears of all stock markets are not noting. I'm here. It hasn't happened yet. Still a bullish sign for stock markets. Okay, so metals still cheap, commodities still cheap generally, but have a look at that CCI index, that cumulative continue. Let me get it. It's the continuous commodity index. The code CCI. It looks to me like it is in the early stages of a base development stage. And that would make sense if the global economy is going to be gradually recovering from here on. Now, crude oil in here today, giving up a little bit of yesterday's strong gains, but still not a bad performance here. Brent, 63.69. The WTI, 55.94. Interest in the sector is picking up, not least since Royal Dutch Shell's takeover bid for BG. And so that's generated some interest here. I almost have my fingers crossed when I say this. I think we will see those oil shares move upwards. That will require, to get a good move to the upside, we will need to see that oil price up in the $70, $80 region. That's possible over the next 18 months or so. If we get a strong move to the higher side on these oil majors, though, I will be looking to reduce my overall position. My position then is almost entirely in Royal Dutch Shell, which is the leader in natural gas, and that's the most important fossil fuel. But we already know that we're in the twilight years here. Maybe a very lengthy twilight for fossil fuels. They'll still be using them 30, 40, probably 50 years from now, but the demand will gradually be declining as solar leads the replacement that we will see coming from renewables. So I don't want to hold Royal Dutch Shell for forever, although I'm still reasonably happy to hold it now, and I'm optimistic. Well, I think the yield is probably secure for at least the next 18 months, and if we get that somewhat higher price for crude oil, which is a logical, likely outcome here over the medium term, then we could see that. But I'll just emphasize that in terms of oil spikes and getting back above $100 and all that sort of thing, that I think that's over. That really is over, as I've discussed and said on many occasions. And that's going to be good for the global economy long term. And it will mean that stock markets, it'll be a plus factor for the secular bull trends that I have been talking about for a number of years. Keys to those, it'll be driven by accelerating technological innovation, lower energy prices. And again, that increasing global middle class. Not a bad outlook here overall. Okay. So, it's been an exciting week. And on that note, all the very best to all of you. Have a terrific weekend.